Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, Brian Lynn reports on Europe's climate agency. John Russell tells about an object that appears to defy scientific theory. Anna Mateo and I present the education report. And then, the lesson of the day. But first, here's Brian.
Europe's climate agency says this year is likely to break 2023's record for the hottest year ever. Researchers at the Copernicus Agency also predicted 2024 will be the first year to be more than 1.5 degrees Celsius hotter than what is called the pre-industrial period. That period from 1850 to 1900 is when humans began the widespread burning of fossil fuels. The new data was released ahead of the United Nations COP29 climate meeting taking place this week in Azerbaijan. At that meeting, international representatives are expected to agree to call for more spending to fight the worldwide effects of climate change. The European Climate Agency said that from January to October, the average world temperature rose so much that 2024 would almost surely be the world's hottest year on record. Copernicus said its records date back to 1940 and are compared with world temperature records going back to 1850. The director of Copernicus, Carlo Buontempo, told Reuters news agency the main cause of this year's record is climate change. The climate is warming generally. It's warming in all continents, in all ocean basins. So we are bound to see those records being broken, Buontempo said. Buontempo also said the data clearly show such warming would not be happening without the continued release of carbon emissions into the atmosphere. Scientists say carbon dioxide is released by the burning of coal, oil, and gas. Buontempo noted the importance of worldwide observations and data collection to support the group's findings and predictions. Copernicus gathers data from billions of measurements from satellites, ships, aircraft, and weather stations around the world. Sonia Senyavahatne is a climate scientist at Public Research University ETH Zurich in Switzerland. She told Reuters she was not surprised by the new prediction. Senyavahatne urged delegates at COP29 to agree to stronger action to limit the use of carbon-producing fossil fuels. The limits that were set in the Paris Agreement are starting to crumble, given the too slow pace of climate action across the world, she said. Many countries agreed to try to prevent the average temperature of the atmosphere from increasing by more than 1.5 degrees Celsius over a period of years by signing the 2015 Paris Agreement. Officials from Copernicus have said that the 1.5 degrees Celsius limit could be passed around 2030. It's basically around the corner now, Buontempo said. Climate scientists say each increase in temperature can fuel extreme weather. I'm Brian Lin.
Researchers have observed a large black hole that gained mass at a rate much faster than scientists had thought possible. New observations from the Webb telescope involve the largest kind of black hole, a supermassive black hole. It is called LID-568. Scientists say it existed when the universe was about 11% of its current age. Black holes are extremely dense objects with gravity so strong that not even light can escape. With their powerful gravitational pull, they grow in mass by taking in material such as gas, dust, and stars that are nearby. A supermassive black hole about 4 million times the mass of the Sun, called Sagittarius A star, is at the center of our Milky Way galaxy. Supermassive black holes are believed to be at the center of most galaxies. Since NASA's James Webb Space Telescope started operating in 2022, researchers have been surprised to find supermassive black holes in the early universe. Researchers had believed that it takes a longer amount of time to gather such huge amounts of mass. New observations of one early black hole give information about how this growth took place. The existence of supermassive black holes in the early universe challenges our current models of black hole formation and growth, said Hye-Won Su of the International Gemini Observatory in Hawaii and the U.S. National Space Foundation's NOAR Lab. Su was the lead writer of the study detailing the findings in the scientific publication Nature Astronomy. The supermassive black hole LID-568 existed about 1.5 billion years after the Big Bang. The Big Bang, the event that started the universe, took place around 13.8 billion years ago. LID-568 has a mass 10 million times greater than the Sun, or 2.5 times the mass of Sagittarius A star. The researchers do not yet know the mass of its home galaxy. The Webb telescope showed LID-568 gaining mass at a rate faster than scientists had thought possible. LID-568 appeared to be consuming infalling material, known as accretion, at more than 40 times the previously believed maximum for such activity. This maximum is known as the Eddington limit. Early black holes are thought to have started in one of two ways. They could have begun after the explosive death of the universe's first generation of stars, or through the collapse of large clouds of gas present in the early universe. The discovery of LID-568 suggests that a lot of mass growth can take place during one time, or episode, of rapid accretion, Sue suggested. A good sign of a growing supermassive black hole is emission of X-rays, high-energy electromagnetic radiation with very short wavelengths. Material moving around a supermassive black hole is superheated and glows strongly in X-ray wavelengths before disappearing in the black hole. Su described LID 568 as remarkable. She added, "We don't know yet how LID 568 is able to exceed the Eddington limit. To investigate further, we need more data, so we are planning to conduct follow-up observations with Webb." I'm John Russell.
China is quietly easing regulations on private education companies as the government aims to support a slowing economy. Government officials have not announced a policy change, but news reports say policymakers are now permitting the tutoring industry to grow. Industry experts say the new efforts aim to support job creation. Reuters news agency recently spoke with people in the industry, parents in China, and others. Here is what Reuters reported. Starting in 2021, the government prohibited for-profit tutoring in main school subjects, such as math and English. The reported aim was to reduce financial pressure on families. It was also meant to create equal educational chances for both rich and poor families, and to eliminate poor quality tutoring services. The policy was known as the double reduction. The crackdown cost the industry billions of dollars. It affected companies like New Oriental Education and Technology Group and TAL Education Group. It also led to tens of thousands of job losses.
Before the policy change, China's for-profit tutoring industry was valued at about $100 billion. The three biggest companies employed over 170,000 people. During the crackdown, the industry did not disappear, as parents continued to seek tutoring services for their children. Many Chinese parents consider after-school tutoring services as a way for their children to gain an advantage in China's competitive education system. Michelle Li is a parent based in southern China. Li spends about $420 a month on after-school classes for her son and daughter. These classes include mathematics tutoring and online lessons in English. She told Reuters that in recent months, tutoring schools had been operating more openly. After the government crackdown in 2021, the number of tutoring centers and the number of teachers employed by them fell. The industry is now coming back as policies ease.
The research company Plenum China said that active licenses for for-profit tutoring centers rose 11.4% between January and June. Liu Xia is a delegate to China's legislature and president of an education group based in the southwestern city of Chongqing. Liu told local media at a press conference in March that the government was dealing with problems in education policy. Lin Song is an economist at ING. He said China was unlikely to admit that the crackdown was a little too forceful, but that regulations would be loosened. He said the overall policy environment has changed from restrictive to supportive, as the main goal now is stabilization.
Two business leaders who deal with government regulations at large tutoring companies recently spoke with Reuters. They said government moves to ease the crackdown had sped up in recent months. They noted a decision in August by the State Council, China's cabinet, to include education services in a 20-point plan to increase spending. This policy goal comes as more than 11 million university graduates entered China's employment market. It also appeared to increase the stock value of publicly traded education companies. The decision in August followed guidelines from China's education ministry in February. These guidelines explained what kinds of after-school tutoring would now be permitted. Last year, the ministry published online a list of companies approved to provide tutoring in subjects that were not considered basic or core subjects. To get around the rules, tutoring centers would often rename classes. For example, math classes were commonly called logical thinking classes.
A woman who ran an English tutoring school in the eastern province of Zhejiang said she laid off 60% of her workers following the crackdown. Lisa did not want to give her full name to Reuters, but she said the school continued to teach science-related courses in English without calling them English classes. Also, one-on-one tutoring did very well during the crackdown. Parents who could afford it paid for tutors to come to their homes. Some parents said this increases an academic gap where students from rich families do better in school than poor families. That worries parents like Yang Zengdong, a Shanghai-based mother of two. She said the policy presented families with a hard choice: either pay up to $112 per class for a private tutor or spend hours each day teaching the children themselves. She said that if this continues, the academic gap between rich people and everyone else will get worse. Young said that wasn't what the policy was meant to do, but that's the reality, so of course it needs to change. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr.
Hello, my name is Anna Mateo.
My name is Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
You're listening to The Lesson of the Day on the Learning English Podcast. Today's lesson helps you do more with Level 2 of our video series, Let's Learn English. This series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
Lesson 2 of Level 2 is called The Interview. Anna's friend Pete has an opportunity for a new job. Anna's boss, Ms. Weaver, is going to interview Pete for the job.
The person who asks the questions is called the interviewer, and the person answering the questions is called the interviewee.
Right. Just like a company or person who gives a job is the employer, and the worker who gets the job is the employee.
Anna also gets a new job or role, and that's spelled R-O-L-E, in Lesson 2. Your role at work means the special functions or activities you do. Anna still works for Ms. Weaver, but Ms. Weaver tells her,
Anna, you're good at asking questions. So I want you to go back to hosting and reporting.
Go back is one of many phrasal verbs you can hear in the video. It means to return. Let's listen to the robot teacher, Professor Bot, talk about them.
I wonder what Anna's new assignment will be. Professor Bot here, while you are watching, look for phrasal or two-word verbs. Some stay together, like go back, and some can come apart, like give out. Good luck, Anna.
In the video, the word assignments appears between the words give and out. That means give out is a separable phrasal verb. In other words, we can separate the two words and put another word between them.
So Ms. Weaver is telling everyone what their new assignment is. Here's another example, this time with the phrasal verb turn on. We can say, please turn on the light, or we can say, turn the light on. Both mean to cause a light to shine.
Now, let's see what else Ms. Weaver has planned for Anna. And be sure to listen for phrasal verbs as well.
So, as I said at the meeting last week, I have new assignments for everyone at the studio. Anna, you're good at asking questions. So, I want you to go back to hosting and reporting.
That sounds great.
You're also a team player. So, I want you to team up with someone.
That sounds even better.
Someone who is very different from you.
That sounds... What do you mean, different?
Well, you are very cheerful. You're a people person. I want you to team up with someone who isn't.
Ms. Weaver, I will find that person.
What kind of person do you think Anna will try to find? Ms. Weaver said Anna is very cheerful and a people person.
A people person is an expression that means a person likes to be with other people. Cheerful means happy and sharing good feelings with others. So if Anna teams up with someone different, that person probably doesn't usually want to be around a lot of people.
Team up with is another phrasal verb. Dr. Jill and I team up with each other to do the lesson of the day on the Learning English podcast.
So team up with just means to work with another person or group of people. Now let's listen and see who Anna finds.
Pete, hi. Thanks for meeting me.
Sure, but I don't have lots of time, Anna. I'm busy looking for work.
Pete, you can tear these one ads up and throw them away. I have good news.
Anna, I was working on that crossword puzzle.
Oh, sorry. Pete, forget about the crossword puzzle. I have a job offer for you.
I'm listening.
My boss wants me to team up with someone to host a talk show. But the person must be different from me, so I thought of you.
Different from you? What do you mean?
I'm sorry, Pete. I don't have time right now. Here's my boss's address. Your interview is tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
But what do you mean different?
Just be yourself, Pete. Just be yourself.
Anna takes Pete's newspaper and tears it up, or rips it, into two pieces. Tear up is a phrasal verb. And Professor Bot tells us about another one.
Did you find any two-word verbs? Here's one example. Pete can throw the want ads away. Throw away is a two-word verb.
Thanks, Professor Bott. But since our listeners are not watching the video, we should explain that throw away means to place something in a waste container. Now, let's see how Pete does in his interview with Ms. Weaver.
Thanks for coming in, Pete.
Thanks for the opportunity, Ms. Weaver.
I need to find out if you have the skills for this job, and I want you to be completely honest.
Okay.
First, let's talk about your personal skills. Pete, are you a people person?
Well, okay. Sometimes I think people talk too much.
Pete, what work of yours are you most proud of?
Last year, I locked myself in a cabin and wrote a book. I didn't speak to anybody the entire time. It was the best 2 months of my life.
Okay. I think I've heard enough.
It sounds like Pete is not a people person. Do you think Ms. Weaver will team him up with Anna?
Probably. By the way, Ms. Weaver used another phrasal verb there, find out. She wants to learn or gather information about Pete's abilities. That's because she wanted Anna to team up with someone different from herself.
Grumpy is an adjective to describe a person's mood or personality. It describes someone who is a bit unhappy or does not share positive feelings with others.
I remember some years ago on YouTube there was a grumpy cat that became very popular. The cat's face made it look grumpy.
Yes. All you need to do is enter the word grumpy in YouTube or Google, and you will find many pictures and videos of that cat.
So we find that Pete got hired for an unusual reason, because he was grumpy and not a people person. So that makes him different from Anna.
Well, they say that good teams need to have different kinds of people on them.
What does that say about us, Andrew? I think we have different ways of teaching, but together they work pretty well. In future episodes of Let's Learn English Level 2, we'll see the kinds of assignments Anna and Pete take on.
And that brings us back to the phrasal verb from the beginning of the video. Listen.
Hey! Hey! Pete, how was the interview with Ms. Weaver?
Well, she said I was grumpy and not good with people.
And?
And I got the job!
I knew it! Congratulations! Let's go celebrate!
Okay.
To take on something is to accept a duty, job, or responsibility. We say we take on a new job, we take on work, we take on a new role, take on responsibilities, and so on.
And this phrasal verb is separable. For example, if we use the pronoun it, we can say take it on. But if we use a longer noun like assignment, we place that noun after the phrasal verb. So we say take on the assignment.
We hope you will watch all the lessons in Let's Learn English to see what roles Anna takes on.
And have you taken on a new role at work or in life recently? Perhaps you have a new job, or perhaps you have recently become a parent. Write to us and let us know.
You can send us your email at learningenglish@voanews.com.
And remember, you can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Thanks for listening. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
And that's our show for today. But join us again tomorrow to keep learning English on the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And